Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon records a beautiful and very intimate relationship and conversation between Christ, the bridegroom, and His church, the bride, God's elect, His children, true believers. And it records the bride's confessions. Her confession, first of all, to those who are here called the daughters of Jerusalem. Can't say exactly who they are. Various commentators think different things. Most likely, it means just to the world. She makes this confession. It is found in verse 5. She simply says, I am black, but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. That confession is a bit of a paradox. It seems like the two things are opposite, and yet they are the same with her. I am black, but comely. But also to all the world around us, even to ourselves, we are a bit of a contradiction. We are a bit of contradiction. We're the most miserable, happiest people in all the world. Black, but comely. And that is the picture that we find of the believer when we are pointing out the various names of one man. He is Jacob, the conniver, and yet he is the same Israel, the Prince of God. It is what we are by nature and what we are by grace. What we are in ourselves and what we are in Christ. What we are by Adam and what we are by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all are made alive. And this is confusing sometimes, concerning sometimes, hard to understand, and difficult for others to understand. But it is absolutely true. It is absolutely a fact. And all our days, all our lives, all the time, we must confess as the bride here, I am black. And that illustration that he gives here in our text, as the tents of Kedar, as the shepherd's tents, who were often made of black goats' skins, and who in the weather over and over and over again looked very bad on the outside, looked very dark and black. You see, we must always confess that we are sinners, that we are still sinners, that we still sin. John said it like this in his epistle: if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And our being black in this spiritual sense is somewhat like Paul is speaking of in Romans chapter 7. Turn over to Romans chapter 7 and listen to his words, not the words before his conversion, but this is the words of Paul the apostle, Paul the man, as he is writing these words. Verse 14, he says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." And then notice what he says: "For I know that in me, that is my flesh, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." He doesn't say like some say, "I am improved," or "I am not as bad as others." He says, "I know that in me, that in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not do, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law or a principle that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inner man, inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." Do we know anything about that? And then he says this in verse 24, "O wretched man that I am." I hear people talking about the wretched man that they were, that they used to be. But the apostle says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I'm a wretched man. I'm black. I'm a sinner. And people say, well, if I believed that you're altogether saved, like saved by grace, like you believe and like you preach, then I just go and sin all I want. But that's the problem. We sin more than we want. We know ourselves to be wretched sinners. We know ourselves to be like the leper who has to, in himself, always cry, unclean, unclean. We know that whatever is born of the flesh, God says it's just flesh. And on our best day, everything that we do, everything done by us is sin. Tainted with sin. Because we do it. We think it. And we don't see ourselves as making progress. We see ourselves in the light of God's holiness. And in that light, we cry like Isaiah cried, woe is me. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. We say like Daniel said, he, therefore I was left alone, and I saw this great vision, vision of God. And there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption. And I retained no strength. You see, we see what we are in the light of God's holiness. We see what we are in this flesh. What we see, what we are by this old Adamic nature. And we acknowledge just what the Bible says, that all our righteousness are as filthy rags. We say like Job, I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. We see God by faith, and he said when he saw God by faith, wherefore I abhor myself. I repent in dust and ashes. I never think a thought that's pure. I never do a deed that's pure. I never have a motive that's pure. All this benevolence going on in the world, people do things for people for the feeling they get of it. Not for good. The scripture says, blessed are they that mourn. Mourn over what? Mourn over sin. The corruption of our nature. Our continuing jealousies and our instant anger and our constant lust and our unchanging hatred and our covetousness and our vile thoughts and our wicked words and our terrible deeds. I'm black. Paul says in another place like this, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ came, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. An apostle? A believer? He said, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm black. I'm just plain black. Peter said it like this when the Lord was risen and came back. He said, I'm a sinful man. Don't come near me. I'm a sinful man. And I'm afraid this is the world. This is how the world sees us. This is how we see ourselves. And when we see what the Bible says about growing in grace, we don't think about that in terms of improving. We think about that in terms of seeing our need more and more of grace. Of recognizing how much we need grace. And God brings us to know this. The Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit, and He brings us to know this in truth and to feel it and to recognize it and to quit making up things about ourselves and fooling ourselves or anybody else. He shows us what we are to teach us the weakness of our flesh. That's what Paul said. He said, the true Israel of God worships God in spirit, looks to Christ, and has no confidence in the flesh. He does it in us to show us the preciousness of Christ. He leaves this in us that we might feel and see our total dependence on God, so much so that if left to ourselves, what horrific creatures would be. The dearest saint, the most faithful believer, is black. If God left us to ourselves, if He left us to our nature, if He turned us loose for 1 minute to do what we always want to do, but He restrains by His grace so many of these things. If we were not restrained, we'd be a Charles Manson. I'm black. There's just no getting by. There's just no way of putting it any prettier or saying it any clearer. There's no way of fixing us up or making us to be some preacher. Spend endless time trying to make people what they're not and what they cannot be. It's the truth. I'm black. I'm black. But thank goodness He says here, but. There is a but of grace in order that this should not consume us. Sometimes we are so full of realization of our weakness and our poverty of soul and our tendency to sin and all these things that we are almost brought to complete despair. We're almost brought to complete hopelessness. If we're honest with ourselves, we know we're that way. We're not trying to fool anybody anymore. We're not trying to make ourselves better than we are. We're just acknowledging the fact, I'm black. But He says, comely. Comely. What does that word mean? That's an old word. It means pleasant to look at. It means attractive. It means agreeable. It means possessing beauty. It means that this is what God in grace has made us in Christ. Now notice what the opposite of that is. He says, I am black as the tents of Kedar. I'm black as an old shepherd's tent, weathered filthy, dirty, out in the wind and the sun and the rain and dirt and everything else. But he says, I'm comely as the curtains of Solomon. As the curtains of Solomon. Now, there's no doubt that for the standard of luxury and the standard of beauty and the standard of wealth and the standard of exquisite things, God has given Solomon to be our standard. In other words, here is this man Solomon, and his curtains are not like everybody else's curtains. His curtains are like the curtains in his temple. They're full of stones, and they're full of embroidery, and they're full of beauty and color and everything like that. Such is the contrast as the tents of Kedar as the curtains of Solomon. In other words, as much as we are this way by nature, we are this way by grace. As much as we are this way in ourselves, we are this way in Christ. Such a radical difference. It tells us in Lamentations, it says, all that pass by clap their hands at thee. They hiss and wag their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? Interpreted in our day as, and you call yourself a Christian? You claim to be a Christian. You said this, you did this, all this other stuff. And we simply have to say, yes, this is what God calls us. The city of perfection. The city of beauty. Zion, which is the church, is that city of beauty. Made comely. I want you to see something in Ezekiel 16. In Ezekiel 16, this is one of those texts where we have so plain a picture of what we are by nature, our conditioning by nature, and our condition by grace. And it's pictured of an aborted infant laying out at a field, bloody, unkept, cast away. That's the picture of us by nature. But when we see what happens when God comes and when Jesus comes, as we heard sung, when Jesus comes, it says something takes place and she's no longer an aborted infant in a field. She's a beautiful woman. Verse 6, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. That's regeneration. I cause thee to multiply as the bud of the field. And thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereof thou wast naked and bare. Something's happened. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. One of the ways of engagement was when one would spread his skirt over another, like Ruth and Boaz. And a covenant, that's what a marriage is all about a covenant. It says then, he says, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord, and thou becamest mine. Then I washed thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil, and I clothed thee also with broidered work, and I shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hand, and a chain upon thy neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. And thou wast decked with gold and silver, and with raiment of fine linen, and silk, and broidered work. Thou didst steep fine flour, and honey, and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful. Can he be talking about the same person? And thou didst prosper into a kingdom, and thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. What's beauty? I often think about that. What's beauty? I know a person might have a feature that is nice. You may have pretty hair, or you may have a pretty nose or pretty lips, but beauty is the sum total of those things in harmony. He says, and your renown went forth among the heathen, among the Gentile world, among the unbelieving world for beauty, for it was perfect. Now, you ladies here this morning are awful pretty, but I'm afraid you're not perfect. The bride that's being spoken of here, God says she's perfect. But notice, your renown went forth from among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord. How in the world can one who has to confess to themselves, to everybody else, and to God, I am black, how can they at the same time be comely? God says it. And you were perfect through my comeliness, which I had put on thee. In other words, made comely by the righteousness of Christ. Been made righteous, made the righteousness of God in him. Which he says here, I put on thee, that speaks of an imputed righteousness. He says in Romans chapter 4, using David as the example, he said, even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. You see, it has to be that way because being black in this spiritual sense, we cannot in any way do anything that will please God. So any righteousness we have has to be righteousness imputed to us or put on us, laid to our account and charge, and made comely through His comeliness. Turn over to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. And listen to what it says, beginning at verse 7. He says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." She's a beauty. She's the Lamb's wife. And she is clothed and covered with fine linen. And He says, and the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Because the righteousness of the saints is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord, our righteousness. You see, as we see us in ourselves naturally, all we see is spots and blemishes, like a woman who looks at herself in the mirror and she's always finding fault. But that is not what her love sees. That's not what her love sees. And when you read this book, especially the Song of Solomon, when you read it in its entirety, you read all it says about how the bridegroom looks to her. But you also need to read the descriptions that he makes of her. She makes a boast of him, but he also makes a boast of her. He calls the church, the bride, the fairest among women. "Thou art the fairest among women." If you turn over here to chapter 4, listen to what he says. In verse 7, he says, "Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee." That's how we look to God. That's how we look in Christ Jesus. "Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee." Look at verse 9. "Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes and with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ornaments than all spices." And all through this book, you read wonderful descriptions of how he appears to her, but you also read wonderful descriptions of how she appears to him. The fairest among women. Turn over to Isaiah 61. Look at verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Well, how can we be that way if we're black? If we're sinners, if we admit what we are and we find ourselves being totally unable to please God in any way, yet he says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. I've always said that I've never seen an ugly bride. It seems like it doesn't matter how homely a gal is or whatever, when she gets up dressed on her wedding day, she's beautiful. And that's what the Lord says. He has made all his people in Christ. He has covered them with the robe of righteousness. He has covered them with the garments of salvation. We are accepted in the Beloved. And as the old hymn says, in the Beloved, God's marvelous grace caused me to dwell in this wonderful place. God sees my Savior, and then he sees me in the Beloved, accepted and free. You remember what it said there in Ezekiel 16? It says, I passed by you and I washed you. I washed you. Revelation 1, chapter 5. And from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten from the dead, and the prince of the kings of all the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. In Colossians, Paul says it like this, and you are complete in him. Well, complete in him. Psalms 50 says this, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. All these names, Zion, the bride, the church, the people of God, the children of God, the elect, all of them are the same people. Psalm 90, verse 17, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish it. Let the beauty of our God be upon us. In Jeremiah, he says this, I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. You see, the psalmist says, mark the perfect man, and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. Perfect man. That's a high standard, isn't it? But Paul said he preached. And he preached the gospel of Christ that he might present every man perfect. Perfect in him. Before the throne of God. We long for the day that this blackness will be no more. We constantly say, oh, wretched man. Day after day, we do things, we say things, we feel things, and every other part of our being, and we say, oh, why did I do that? Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't said that. I just did it and said it before I even thought. Why did we do that? Because we're black. We long for the day when this corruption has put on incorruption. But even now, to the amazement of this world, and even to our amazement, we are in God's sight, perfect, justified, accounted righteous, beautiful, comely, through the Lord Jesus Christ. I am black, but comely. Both things are true. And when Paul says what he says there in Romans 7, he says, he gets down to the end of just this warfare that's going on inside of him and this tendency and nature of sin. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Then he answers the question. He answers the question. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. But I'm delivered through the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he writes to them and he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. I just imagine we could find ourselves in that group somewhere. Black. But he says in the next verse, and such were some of you. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I'm black, but I'm comely. I'm a contradiction, it seems like. Because I still am what I am in my flesh. But thank God, by His grace, in His Son, I'm comely, beautiful, complete, perfect, righteous, without sin, in His sight. I always heard that beauty was in the eyes of the beholder. And the beholder, in this case, is God Himself. His people are comely, though they're black. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank you that you are pleased to accept us in your Son, that he is of such perfection and his work is so complete that we're complete in him, that we are without sin because he has put them away, that he has died and paid the penalty for our sins. That while we still have sin in us, we have no sin on us. And we thank you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.